Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
जानिए ऑस्ट्रेलिया के ताजा समाचार, विचार और वो सब जो है आपके समुदाय के लिए जरूरी। ये है SBS साउथ एशियन पर SBS हिंदी।
नमस्कार, SBS हिंदी से मैं हूँ प्रीति जब्बल। आज हम बात करेंगे फिजी की। फिजी अलग अलग लोगों के लिए अलग अलग मायने रखता है। टूरिस्ट के लिए ये एक स्वर्ग है, स्वयंसेवकों के लिए एक अच्छा अनुभव है, व्यापारियों और निवेशकों के लिए एक अच्छा व्यवसाय। लेकिन वहां रहने वाले लोगों के लिए फिजी कैसा है? सामाजिक असमानताओं, स्वास्थ्य चुनौतियों से लेकर गिरमिटिया मजदूरों के इतिहास तक फिजी को प्रभावित करने वाले मुद्दे क्या हैं? फिजी के बारे में ऐसा क्या है जिसके बारे में बाहर के लोग नहीं जानते? इन सवालों के जवाब देने के लिए आज हमारे साथ फिजी प्रशांत के दो प्रमुख विशेषज्ञ हाजिर हैं, जिन्होंने एक नया उपन्यास लिखा है जो फिजी पर भारतीय प्रवासियों के इतिहास और फिजी चीनी उद्योग में भारतीय गिरमिटिया मजदूरों के उपयोग की पड़ताल करता है। तो मिलिए एडवर्ड नारायण से, जो एक फिजी राजनीतिक विश्लेषक, शोधकर्ता और लेखक हैं, और टैरन फिलिप से, जो एक चिकित्सा मानव विज्ञानी यानी मेडिकल एंथ्रोपोलॉजिस्ट, लेखक और मेलबर्न में लथ्रोब यूनिवर्सिटी में क्राइम जस्टिस एंड लीगल स्टडीज की एसोसिएट प्रोफेसर है। दोस्तों, आपको बता दें कि ये साक्षात्कार अंग्रेजी में है। एडवर्ड एंड टैरन, हमसे जुड़ने के लिए धन्यवाद, और आपकी किताब शुगर के लॉन्च पर ढेरों शुभकामनाएं।
Taran, this question's for you. What were your goals when setting out to write this book, and who were you most hoping to address in this book, and what do you want the readers to take away?
Yeah, so first and foremost, we wanted to write a good story, and we wanted we didn't really set out with goals per se, but rather we were inspired by a number of different things that happened to us in Fiji. We're inspired by Eddie's experience during his childhood growing up and in Suva, and by a lot of the research that I was doing with Indo-Fijian and Italke communities around issues of diabetes and poverty and social justice. Eddie, did you want to talk a little bit about some of the experiences that we had that led to our inspiration from the book?
Yes, so we arrived in Fiji during Cyclone Winston, and we were nicely camped out in a very nice hotel while the whole country was in the midst of a brutal cyclone. And it kind of inspired us to start thinking about the privilege dynamic in Fiji, where people with lots of privilege and those that are literally during the cyclone trying to survive the night. And so these kind of things, you know, made us think about writing the book. It inspired us. There's just a situation in Fiji, and the environment in Fiji. We lived there for 2 years during the time we wrote the book. We got burgled at one point, which inspires the book to some extent. So all these kind of events that happened to us inspired us to write a novel. And the novel is situated in Fiji. So we had to also give credit to all the things that are going on in Fiji. So even though the book is a fiction, it's a murder mystery, it does depict depicts a real situation in Fiji.
Your lived-in experience
exactly,
as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What was your motivation in creating this book as a fiction as opposed to a traditional ethnographic material, Taran?
Yeah, that's a great question, Priti. As a teacher, I have noticed that students aren't reading very much. And they're always like, oh, miss, do we have to read that? So, Eddie and I have done lots of research, and we find that academic work is sometimes kind of written from an ivory tower and is a little bit inaccessible to people. And often it's, you know, stats and figures about what happened in history or what's currently happening. We wanted to write something that was going to engage people's hearts rather than their heads. And so we wanted to create these characters that were flawed and endearing and very human and kind of make their worlds collide in ways that would emotionally resonate with people. And part of the way we did that was through a murder mystery, which was a way to get readers wanting to turn that next page and really find out what happened, and then accidentally learn some of the historical challenges and contemporary social realities along the way.
Which leads me to the next question, which is for Taryn again, is you've conducted the ethnographic research on issues like poverty, health and social injustice, social justice in Fiji for decades now. In order to get the emotional traction or buy-in from your readers, how challenging was it to separate fact from fiction?
So the work that I've done alongside Indo-Fijian and Italkay communities in Fiji has really highlighted this contemporary prevalence of diabetes, and not only that, but Fiji has the highest per capita rate of death by diabetes-related complications in the world. And I think at the moment, three people are having their limbs amputated every day, which is really alarming in a population of under a million people. But what I really found in that research was that a lot of the discourse around diabetes suggests that it's the fault of the person with diabetes for not looking after their health properly or not taking the doctor's advice when they're diagnosed. And what we what that veils, I guess, or hides is the big systems like colonisation and contemporary international business, which is affecting Fiji's food system and really shaping Fijians' access to nutritious food. So it's not about healthy lifestyle choices so much, but rather systems that are shaping how people shaping people's bodies and shaping their life expectancies. So that was the kind of story that we wanted to tell, but we wanted to tell that through characters.
And Eddie, is it true that indenture ended because of pressure from Indian nationalists and declining profitability rather than from humanitarian concerns?
I'm not an absolute expert on this, but I can tell you some things. There's a fantastic book by Totoram Sanadia called 21 Years in Fiji. And he was an activist, and he spent some time in Fiji and went back to India. And he was, you know, hobnobbing with Gandhi and all the nationalists in Fiji in India. Mm-hmm. And so that the topic of Fiji came up. And it's a very important book, because otherwise that story would have been lost, the plight of the Indians in Fiji. And so it's a fantastic book. So I think you're right in that respect. There's also the fact that the war was going on from between 1914 and 1918. Gdimit came to an end in 1916. So they'd run out of ships to move labor back and forth. So that had something to do with it. I'm not sure about the humanitarian intent. Hopefully that was part of the thought process. But, you know, the good thing is that it came to an end eventually in 1916. But that didn't end the plight of the Indo-Fijian, because the time from the Gdimit period onwards has been quite challenging. There's been two very racialized military coups that has caused hardship for the Indo-Fijians. Even today, Fiji is quite a difficult place to live. There's a lot of cost of living is very high. A lot of Indians are trying to seek opportunities elsewhere. But at the same time, there's a lot of hope, and Indo-Fijians love being in Fiji. So it's in our blood, it's in our bones. So there's all those kind of competing emotions.
Yes, and it's complex, and it's also politically complicated, and it can get more complex when people migrate. Indo-Fijians migrate from Fiji to Australia, and I have a Fijian friend who always tells me that she is not Indian from India, she's not Fijian from Fiji, and she's not Australian from Australia. So in this complexity, how can one create surety in their cultural identity from your experience?
Yeah, wow, good question. That's a deep question. I like to lie down and talk about this as a bit of a therapy session.
A shrink.
Yeah, but it's very true. I mean, so Indo-Fijians are not Indians. That's absolutely correct. We're Fijians at heart, but we've had a hard time at times in Fiji to feel that we belong. So there's that complexity. And then obviously coming to Australia and being part of the Indian diaspora in Australia, or being a migrant in Australia, also has its difficulties. But I'd like to think about this. There's one way to think about it, in that our ancestors, the Girmitia, they came from very hard conditions in the Indian rural areas. There was the land was barren, they were starving, and they came to try to find and a better existence in Fiji. They were also tricked by the British. They were also brought by force. But they tried to find a better life for them and for their kids and for the next generation. And maybe those that have finally kind of gone through the Fiji experience and come overseas may have finally found the life that they're looking for. But having said that, Indo-Fijians, I guess I can only speak for myself, but Fiji is in our bones. And we were always Fijian, so our heart is in Fiji still. I'm speaking for myself. I can't speak for everybody. So I think Fiji is going through a bit of a period of teething, I suppose. And I think we'll find our way. It's still only 150 years since the Indians first came. So I think the race relations will get better. There's hope for people in Fiji, and for those and the diaspora. For example, I have three kids, and they're completely Aussie, but they still have their Indian roots. You know, they still understand the language a bit, so I think they'll find their way as well. So it's just that first generation of Indo-Fijians that have migrated that find it difficult, I think.
And so we have a lot of hope. There. Eddie, you're also political analyst and senior advisor with Fiji's Labour Party. If we were to analyse the future of Fiji and India's relationship, what type and degree of relations would you recommend Fiji should have with India in future?
Well, that's a big question. I think, first of all, I'd like to say that Fijians, the Itoke, the indigenous people, don't know a Fiji without Indians, and us Indo-Fijians don't know. Can I start again?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
What did I say? I can't remember what it is. Okay,
start so again.
Start again. Yeah.
Start again.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me start again. Okay.
Take a think about it.
Yeah. So the first thing I want to say is that Indo-Fijians don't know a Fiji, don't know a life that isn't in Fiji, that doesn't involve Fiji. In the same way, the Itoke, the indigenous Fijians, don't know a Fiji, they don't know a life that doesn't involve Indians. So Indians and Itoke, the indigenous Fijians, their lives are immersed together. They don't know a different life. So there's also obviously the very it's very evident that Indo-Fijians are from India originally. So the Indian-Fiji relationship is quite an important one. It's not going to go away. And India, actually, in my opinion, have been a very good ally to Fiji. They provide a lot of aid in terms of hospitals in the health sector. And if you look at the aid dynamic between Fiji and other countries, it's tied in with other aspects of economy, such as trade, whereas India's relationship has been quite unconditional, which is very positive.
My final question to you is about language. At SBS, we are all about the language and the multiculturalism. Sugar is predominantly written in English with some Fijian Indian words and references. I would imagine that your ethnographic research was all in English as well. How did these languages actually interact and influence one another in your book?
That's a great question.
For me?
Whoever wishes to answer.
That's a very good question. You can't talk about Fiji without the cultures. It's a very multicultural place, and there's lots of languages floating around. For example, in respect to the Indo-Fijians that came. So, for example, I'm of South Indian descent. My ancestors came from South India, from Tamil Nadu, and they spoke Telugu. And, you know, a lot of people came from a lot of different places in India. They spoke Awadhi, Bhojpuri, Urdu, Bengali, and all these languages mixed into what is now Fiji Hindi. Mm. But also there are Indians that came after the Gilmit period, like the Punjabis and the Gujaratis, that speak their own languages. And then you have among the indigenous people in Fiji who have, depending on which region you come from, you speak, there's a multitude of different indigenous languages. Then you have the Chinese that have been there for a long time. Then you have the English that came as colonizers. So you have all these multitude of languages. So the book was written in English because I guess that's the global language, and we wanted to use to try to reach as many people as possible, I suppose. But you can't talk about Fiji without talking about the cultures, and if you talk about the cultures, you got to talk about the languages as well.
Yeah, and so I guess we have quite a few scenes that to us feel very resonant in downtown Suva, which is just a higgledy-piggledy kind of mix of different languages. And as a result, it's really rich and vibrant and a fascinating place linguistically, just as much as it is culturally.
And one more thing to add is the fact that in Fiji, we have our own brand of English as well. So there's I don't know what you can call it, Finglish, I suppose, which is different.
Like our English.
Yeah, exactly, like English, which is different to English. So when I go to Fiji, I can't speak like I speak in Australia. Mm. If I start speaking, they won't understand me, and B, they'll think that I'm showing off or kind of gone crazy or something. So you gotta start speaking the English in Fiji, and so you got all these kind of languages going on. You speak Hindi with your family. Then I'm learning Fijian. I actually spoke very well when I was younger, but I've kind of forgotten it, so I'm trying to pick it up again. Then you go speak Itoke, Fijian language. So there's a multitude of languages going on. It depicts the kind of the color and the vibrancy of Fiji.
तो उसी पर आपसे गुजारिश है कि जाते जाते हमारे श्रोताओं के साथ कोई अगर आप संदेश या कोई मैसेज देना चाहते हैं
फिजी हिंदी में
जी
अच्छा तो हम लोग फिजी भारतीय के हम लोग फिजी के भारतीय लोग हैं हम लोग फिजी के हैं हम लोग पूर्वज इंडिया से आयन रहा और हम लोग तो हम अभी डेढ़ दिन से ऑस्ट्रेलिया पे रहता है
जी
लेकिन हमारा दिल अभी तक फिजी में है
तो आप यहाँ रहते हैं पर आपका दिल अभी भी
वही तो हाँ
फिजी से जुड़ा हुआ
हाँ वही तो वही तो
बढ़िया एडियन चारन थैंक यू सो मच इट हैज बीन अ वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग कॉन्वर्सेशन बट आई एम कॉग्निसेंट ऑफ टाइम सो आईड लाइक टू रैप अप हियर एंड थैंक यू सो मच फॉर योर टाइम एंड योर इनसाइट्स
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
SBS South Asian par sune SBS Hindi.